The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Deb Zuber for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we'll share news and introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. We'll begin with some announcements. You are invited to join a study conducted by the American Foundation for the Blind. As artificial intelligence, AI chatbots, and apps become more commonplace, we want to hear from you. We invite you to fill out the survey and tell us whether or not you've been using AI, what you use it for, what you think about AI, and any problems you have had with AI systems. The American Foundation for the Blind wants to learn how AI experiences differ between people with and without disabilities. We'll use what we learn to inform AI companies and policymakers so they can make AI as accessible as possible to everyone. Anyone in the United States who is at least 18 years old can fill out the survey. You do not have to have a disability to take the survey. It should take about 30 to 45 minutes to complete. And if you take the survey, you can enter a raffle to win one of 20 $50 gift cards. We invite people with any type of disability to take the survey. The survey is a screen reader accessible. We offer a certified deaf interpreter or scribe who can record your spoken answers if you wish. You can also take the survey with your own ASL interpreter or communication assistant. Go to AFB, American Foundation for the Blind, afb.org/research-and-initiatives/take-action/exploring-artificial-intelligence-study. You might just go to American Foundation for the Blind and find your way there. And a note, in order to prevent scammers from taking the survey, they ask you not to share this information or the study link on social media. There is a separate flyer for social media use. If you have questions or need more information, please contact Dr. Ariel Silverman, AFB Director of Research. Email is asilverman@afb.org or 202-469-6832. And again, that's 202-469-6832. The survey will close on September 30th. So be sure and check that out now. The Arts Access Gallery is now on Bloomberg Connects. Explore the Arts Access Gallery with a digital museum guide on Bloomberg Connects, the free arts and culture app. The guide showcases current and past exhibitions, includes audio description, and more. Use the app during your visit at home or anywhere, anytime. Download the Bloomberg Connects app and search Arts Access North Carolina or visit the guide on your web browser. So the Bloomberg Connects supports arts and culture around the world. You can explore expert-curated guides from cultural institutions across the globe. With the free Bloomberg Connects app, explore expert-curated content and guides to over 1,000 museums, galleries, sculpture parks, gardens, and cultural spaces from the palm of your hand. And it's free. From behind-the-scenes guides to artist and expert-curated video and audio content, Bloomberg Connects makes it easy to discover arts and culture anywhere, anytime. So it connects thousands of hours of bespoke audio, video, and text content with more content being added every month. The app makes it easy for you to explore arts and culture on your own time at your own pace, on site or from home. All guides are downloadable, allowing you to explore them even when you're offline. Your personal curator on and off site. The app offers a number of tools to enhance your in-person visit to a cultural institution. So feel free to download, free to use. The app was created by Bloomberg Philanthropies to help make the art and offerings of cultural organizations more accessible, not just to those visiting in person, but to people around the world. And finally, closer to home, this announcement shares some programs in Winston-Salem. First, the Forsyth Blind Bowlers. Forsyth Blind Bowling League has been rolling balls on the lanes of Winston-Salem for more than 20 years. Most of the bowlers have some visual impairment, but sighted persons who meet requirements are also eligible to join the league. League bowling occurs during the fall and winter months. There are various tournaments throughout the season, including the Charles E. Roan Invitational Blind Bowling Tournament on the third Saturday in March, held in Winston-Salem. The league is a member of the American Blind Bowlers Association and the Carolina Bowling Alliance. Each member pays an annual sanctioning and weekly bowling fee. The Out of Sight Support Group. The group provides moral support and recreation for adults who are visually impaired. Monthly activities include guest speakers and periodic trips to places of interest in North Carolina. The group meets at Polo Park Recreation Center on the first and third Thursdays at 10 a.m. And finally, the Winston-Salem Council for the Blind. It's an affiliate of the North Carolina Council of the Blind that promotes awareness, education, employment, access to public accommodations for the blind and visually impaired. The council meets at 7 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at Polo Park Recreation Center. Sighted persons are eligible to join. However, two-thirds of the membership must be blind or visually impaired. For more information about visually impaired programming, call 336-727-8000. That's 336-727-8000. And on to profiles. Justin Salisbury is a graduate student in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction at the University of Minnesota. He's taught cane travel, braille, home management, and classes on NFB philosophy at residential and non-residential training centers for the blind. He works to bring the knowledge of the National Federation of the Blind into research, policy, and university spaces. Here's his commentary. The idea that we must provide equal access to science education for blind children and adults is widely understood by the readers of Future Reflections. I'm here to expand this idea to venues beyond the traditional classroom and to address the systemic environmental ableism that impacts the blind community. Our nation is making important decisions about the future of our planet, and blind people deserve to play a part in those decisions. Publications of the National Federation of the Blind frequently include discussion about the importance of accessibility to curricular content in science classrooms. The lack of full access is a widespread problem. Many blind students are not given the support and equal access that they deserve, and this gap has material consequences for everyone. Our planet and all of its inhabitants deserve to benefit from the contributions that all of us, including blind people, can offer to our shared future. In my high school, environmental science was treated as a second-class STEM option. It fell outside the core sequence that was designed to prepare students for competitive college admissions, biology, chemistry, and physics. There was no honors level option in environmental science, and I was told that I was limiting my desirability in college admissions by taking environmental science. I took it anyway, because I thought it was important. I hear that some high schools now offer advanced placement environmental science courses, and I'm glad that more students today have this opportunity. The second-class treatment of environmental science can be a double-edged sword for blind students. Sometimes schools focus only on getting blind students to succeed in the widely accepted core subject areas. At other times, schools push blind students into those second-class courses based on low expectations. Regardless of how a school treats environmental science, blind students deserve to have an equal opportunity to study it with their sighted peers. Performing environmental science is a great way for students to give back to the local community. It feels good to go out and help pick up trash or build or restore nature trails. As a sighted kid, I enjoyed these activities until my sophomore year in high school. Blind students deserve the benefits of these experiences, and our communities deserve the benefit of the service that blind people can provide. Kids who grow up understanding themselves as a part of a community that takes care of its environment have a greater sense of social responsibility. In Hawaii, there is a common understanding of a concept called kuleana, which translates roughly as mutual responsibility. We have a duty to take care of our environment as our environment unconditionally takes care of us. Whether we do our part to nurture this relationship by living in the world, we are a part of something greater than ourselves. Blind kids deserve to grow up with this understanding as much as sighted kids do. Yet one of the ways that ableism acts within our society is by telling us that blind people cannot give back to the community. Blind people are perceived as needing help rather than being capable of making positive contributions. Environmental service projects are a great way to foster a sense of kuleana in our blind students. They can allow our blind students to show the community how much they can contribute. Unfortunately, however, many environmental service projects are not easily accessible to blind people. Often they are designed in ways that are not ideal, although this does not need to be the case. When I was a college student, I participated in an environmental cleanup project. The organizers handed each of us a garbage bag and instructed us to walk around campus picking up garbage. By design, that activity expected participants to visually scan a big area, spot pieces of garbage, and walk over to pick them up. That garbage could be unsafe to touch, but a person has to know that before reaching for it. I never hurt myself picking up trash, but I wonder what my life might have been if I had picked up a used syringe because my way of finding it was with my hands. A blind person can do this work, especially with sighted assistance, but it is not naturally accessible. When I worked in Honolulu, we once took our blind students to engage in an environmental service project. Traditional Hawaiian saltwater fish ponds are similar to human-made lagoons with openings in them for the fish to pass through. When the tide comes out, the fish come with it. At high tide, the gates are dropped over the openings. Then the tide goes out, trapping the fish in the fish pond. Our job was to strip the bark off mangrove wood so the wood could be used for the gates. It was a very natural activity for us to undertake non-visually. We could feel the spots where the wood still had bark. We could remove the bark when we found it. We did our part, and it was very intuitive to us. It is totally possible for blind people to take part in outdoor recreation activities such as hiking. However, we seldom are encouraged to partake in these activities. Furthermore, many of the great places to engage in outdoor recreation are not located on public transportation routes. It does not have to be this way, but it often is. Sometimes this is because the people holding power and prosperity in a given area want to keep those outdoor venues inaccessible to people of lower socioeconomic status. Though not spoken directly, the idea is that the outdoor site will become less appealing once poorer people gain access. Blind people end up suffering due to these urban planning decisions. I experienced this lack of access with a beautiful seaside lighthouse trail that I loved hiking in Hawaii. Fortunately, I managed to find ways to get there because it was important to me, but it took extra effort and planning. I have spent a lot of time searching, but I have not found literature about environmental ableism that lines up with the concept that I want to present here. I am a mixed-race person, which includes being American Indian. I hear a lot of discussion about environmental racism, which is very real. I think it has a lot in common with environmental ableism. If this description of environmental ableism sounds similar to environmental racism, that's because it is similar in the way I think about both concepts. Consider these core principles of environmental ableism applied to the blind community. Environmental issues disproportionately impact blind people versus sighted people. Because access to public transportation is disproportionately important for blind people, many blind people end up living in cities where pollution and other environmental hazards may impact us disproportionately. Because of our marginalization socially and politically, the blind face barriers to fighting against environmental justice issues that impact our community. Housing projects for the blind, schools for the blind, and other blindness-specific institutions may be housed in areas with less desirable real estate. These areas may be at a higher risk of exposure to environmental hazards. Blind people have less access to financial resources that help people move to more prosperous areas, which tend to be less polluted. Poverty and lack of affordable housing exacerbate environmental racism. Low-income communities often have limited access to clean air, clean water, and green spaces. Blind people have less access to environmental benefits, such as state parks and other green spaces that may be off public transit lines. While environmental issues impact the blind community, organizations of blind people, such as the National Federation of the Blind, can take action to try to address those issues. If environmental hazards come up at a school for the blind, the affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind in that state may advocate to address that environmental issue. When something affects a blindness-specific institution, it becomes a blindness issue. If a school for the blind has a problem with its drinking water, blind children in that school will be affected. The societal conditions that made that environmental hazard possible were likely influenced by attitudes about blindness. If blind people are perceived as less valuable than others, protecting the spaces that we occupy is less of a priority to the larger society than it would be if we were perceived as equal to the sighted. Access to environmental education for blind people of all ages is essential to promote the well-being of the blind community. I'm glad to see the environmental education included in some of the youth science programming run by the National Federation of the Blind. I saw this emphasis at the Youth Slam and STEMX events back in 2011 and 2013. Giving blind people access to outdoor recreation allows us to enjoy the great outdoors and feel connected to the world around us. When blind people engage meaningfully in environmental service projects, we honor our Kuleana mutual responsibility to take care of our environment as it takes care of us. As we raise the environmental consciousness within the blind community, we increase our ability to diagnose and correct environmental ableism. Let's make sure that environmental education is accessible to all blind people. Our next profile, Judy Davis, helps others with low vision thrive, in North Carolina and beyond. When Judy Davis was a young child, her older sister started having trouble seeing at night, and tests revealed that she had retinitis pigmentosa, an eye disease that causes progressive vision loss over time. The diagnosis came as a surprise because RP is a genetic disease that hadn't shown up in the family before. Still, doctors thought it was a good idea to test Judy, too. As it turns out, Judy had also been born with RP. And while most people with RP don't have symptoms until they reach their 40s or 50s, in my family, she says, it hit early. By the time Judy was in her early 20s, she decided it would be best to learn Braille. At that time, she was living in Pennsylvania, and Judy... Switching pages. Provided her with a teacher. But I had two small children running around the house, she says, and trying to keep my kids out of trouble and learning Braille from a person at the same time didn't work. So the teacher introduced Judy to Hadley, where she could study and learn at her own pace. Judy was also an avid college student, earning her undergrad degree in school media services and a master's degree in library science. Yet with all those learning activities on her plate, not to mention parenting, she still found time for another important pastime, going to meetings with a low vision support group. Finding a support group was transformative for Judy. It gave her an opportunity to share with people who had similar experiences. The journey is so much better when you have friends that you can tell what's ahead and just give you guidance, she says. I think they're one of the best ways for people to start learning to cope with vision loss, so they know what's possible and can share their stories and talk about things with somebody. Ever since then, Judy has looked for support groups wherever she lives, and in each group, she's become deeply involved, going from a participant to a contributor to a group facilitator. With her current group in Asheville, North Carolina, she is now a group leader, making it easier for others to connect too. In fact, when the COVID pandemic struck in 2020, Judy worked with Hadley to move meetings on to Zoom. And now the group is more than a local resource, drawing members from several states. Judy lives alone with her two dogs, Orville, a black lab who serves as her guide dog, and Prince, a yellow lab who has retired from that position. She learned to use a white cane in her 20s when she realized she wasn't getting out as much as she'd like with her young daughter. Later, when she realized once again that she wasn't walking as much as she'd like, she made the decision to get a guide dog. It's a very different form of travel, and I love it, she says. For every new option that Judy's explored, she's been able to reach out to her support group members and others, including Hadley's discussion groups, for their input and experiences. She also reached out online, taking workshops through Hadley to learn about using technology and more, where she appreciates the constant reassurance and encouragement. That's a big part of vision loss, Judy says. You have to learn to be patient with yourself. Learn to take that deep breath and say, okay, this can be done by other people with vision loss, so I know I can do it. Recently, Judy signed up to be a peer mentor with Hadley, where she can share her own knowledge and encouragement with others. Judy has learned a lot about vision loss over the years, and her advice for others is threefold. First, don't try to hide it, she says. The sooner you start sharing your story with other people, the sooner people will understand. And she recommends finding a support group as a great way to start. Second, Judy encourages people to find the tools and resources they need to stay active, explaining that exercise has been a great technique for helping her cope with vision loss. My walks ground me, and I enjoy encounters with others, she says. And third, Judy recommends finding ways to volunteer to help others. There's nothing like helping someone else to make one feel happier, she says. And now some announcements about the arts. Raleigh Little Theater presents Mad Libs Live, and on Sunday, September 14 at 3 p.m., an audio description is available. Mad Libs, get ready to laugh, sing, and fill in the blanks. Mad Libs Live is a high-energy musical where you help create the show. Four quirky teens are competing, and they're on this hit show. They discover some of their songs are missing words. That's where the audience comes in. You'll suggest a variety of nouns, verbs, adjectives, and the cast will perform a one-of-a-kind version of the show based on your answers. Every performance is totally different and totally hilarious. There's also a sensory-friendly performance September 20th at 10:30. So check out Raleigh Little Theater for tickets, and don't miss this exciting event. Next, Deepak is offering audio-described performances for two Broadway shows, Beauty and the Beast on Saturday, September 6th, Sound of Music on Saturday, October 11th. Both start at 2 p.m. So Beauty and the Beast, it's Disney's 30th anniversary production. Breathtaking musical filled with romance and grandeur audiences know and love. This enchanting, timeless tale has been brought to life like never before with spectacular new sets, dazzling costumes. Oscar-winning and Tony Award-nominated score includes classic songs. AMC Theaters in North Carolina offers audio description services, which provide a spoken narration of a movie's visual elements to guests with visual impairments. To access it, borrow a free audio device, select audio resource option on the screen during the movie. Availability varies by title, so look for short times, show times with the audio description label, or ask a crew member for assistance. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Deb Zuber for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.